Good to have you all here today. It's so nice to be able to worship together in God's house and to be of one mind, to be united together. We're starting a new series today. It's only 2 weeks long, but it's called You Lift Me Up. And what we're going to talk about is how God lifts us up. He meets us where we are, and we're in different places at different times of our life. And sometimes we're lifted up and we find ourselves feeling pretty darn good. Life is going well. And then there's other times that it doesn't feel that way. And sometimes we say, God, where are you? Have you ever asked that question? Honestly now, have you ever said, God, where are you? Because this isn't how I thought things were going to be. In fact, maybe just 2 weeks ago, things were entirely different. And I knew you were working in my life. And suddenly, I'm saying, where are you, God? There's a psalm we're going to look at. We're going to start at Psalm 40, just the first three verses. This is what it says. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. These are words written by King David. He says, he lifted me out of the pit of despair. That sounds pretty dramatic, doesn't it? The pit of despair. But it's kind of helpful to know that a king who seems to have it all, you would think, found himself emotionally in a place where he was feeling in despair. It helps us to realize that, hey, even people that look like they have it all together maybe have those times where it's not so easy. Now, some versions of the Bible don't say the muck. No, they don't say, hold on, let me look back. This one says the mud and the mire, okay? Some versions, which I kind of favor, call it muck and mire. Have you guys ever heard of those terms? I am in the muck and the mire. Muck means manure. Muck means dung. Muck means waste. So we could insert a word here that's not appropriate for me to say in church, especially since we're being recorded and this will be on, you know, the web. But we could say, I'm in deep muck. Now, mire is slightly less disgusting. It really does mean mud. It just means a swamp or a marsh, just plain mud. So here's King David looking back on his life and recognizing that at one point or another, he was in a desperate pit. And then he talks about God lifting him out of the pit. And that is a hopeful statement. That is something that we need to hear after the fact that he says, I was in a pit. I was in despair. I was desperate. And then he says, God lifted me out of that. However, prior to these events, the pit of despair and God lifting him out, we have to look at verse 1. Because verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. Now, there's probably two responses we could give to this verse. We could say, darn it, or we could say, yay. Now, I think darn it first because I waited patiently. I waited. That's one of the hardest things to do when you're in the pit, right? The pit of muck. That is a hard thing to do. He waited patiently for the Lord to help him. And God turned to him, what? When he heard David's cry. What? He didn't just get to lie in the mud? Darn! Because sometimes when I'm feeling that way, I want to lie in the mud. Do you remember that child's verse? Now, anyway, okay, this is my childhood. I don't know if you all know this or not, but it was, guess I'll go eat some worms. Some of you guys remember that? Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat some worms. Long, thin, slimy ones. I had to look up the second verse. Long, thin, slimy ones. Short, fat, juicy ones. Itsy, bitsy, fuzzy, wuzzy worms. Worms. Yeah. We have to do something when we find ourselves in the pit, in the mud. First of all, we have to wait patiently. That is hard. Secondly, we need to cry out to God. And sometimes that is even harder. But there's a yay to this. Yay, because God heard David's cry, right? It's one of those things that assures us that when we pray, in whatever form that looks like, sometimes it's a crying out, sometimes it's a yelling and screaming, sometimes it is all we can do to whisper, God, help me. Whatever way we are calling out to God, he hears us, even if it doesn't happen immediately, because David even admitted that he had to wait patiently. And David's known as a man after God's own heart. David had to wait, but it didn't mean that God didn't hear him, correct? Do we get that? God still heard him. He was in the mud when he cried out. Crying out to God does not mean instantly you're not going to be in the mud anymore. Sometimes we're going to be stuck there for a while. And that's where we start saying, God, are you here? He hears your cry. I do not know why sometimes we're in the mud longer than others. I wish I had that answer. We can ask him someday about that. Something to do with his timing. I know that. And that's something that we need to count on. But we call out to him, and he lifts us up. But there's a need for patience on our part. And then we're standing on solid ground. And sometimes we think, how did I get here? Oh my gosh, God does exist. He does answer prayer. And this message is for everyone. Because some of the time in life, we're going to be in the muck and mire. And some of the time, we're going to be on solid ground. And even after we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're going to still go through life. That's why it's so important to hear someone like King David be honest about his emotions. We need to be honest about our emotions. That's why it's so important to learn from Scripture about how to do life, because life happens. Again, if there's anything underlined on the screen, you are going to find blanks in your sermon notes. Now, my desire is that nobody would ever be in the pit of despair. I really wish for everyone that that wouldn't be the case. But I can testify that on any given Sunday or any other day of the week, there are some of us within this body, even, who are finding themselves in despair, desperate for God, saying, how much longer do I have to be patient? I've been here for a long time and I'm tired. And I don't even have enough left in my voice to cry out anymore. And we're all going to have times like that. We just are. And then we're also going to have times where we're on solid ground. Now, I've shared with you about 3 weeks ago, I was at a conference in Colorado. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't say I was in the pit of despair. That would really be quite dramatic for me to say that. But I was feeling down some days. It was hard to motivate myself to get my job done on a daily basis. And I went to that conference and God met me there. And I can testify that since then, I have felt that I am on solid ground. And it feels good. And so what God does is put us together, right? Because any given Sunday or any other day of the week, there's some of us who are standing on solid ground. And we are only a representation of what's out there in the world. There's people in the pit of despair and there's people on solid ground. And when we're on solid ground, we can be the ones to say to those who are hurting, who are in desperate needs, let me give you a hand. Let me walk along beside you because I've been there. And I know that I will be there again. And you might be on solid ground at that time, and you'll be able to help me up. It's not a matter of those of us on solid ground looking down and saying, you're still rolling around in your own mud. Get your stuff together. Get up. Come on, look at me. We need to do this thing together. That would be judgment. And we say no judgment. What we say is, we are in this life together. And when I'm on solid ground, I'm going to say, you can do this thing. God is hearing your cry. I will walk along beside you because I'm going to need that same thing from you some point in the future. What happens, though, as we talked about holiness a couple of weeks, well, actually last week, is that we are challenged to pray to God to transform us. And part of the challenge last week was to say, God, bend me where I need to bend. Make me more pliable. And God, even if necessary, break off the parts of me that are not right. And at those times, those are scary prayers because God may, no, God will answer those prayers. And sometimes, if we have found ourselves in the mud, we have to walk out of the mud before we find ourselves on solid ground. But as we are changing and shape more like Christ, what we find is that even though life still happens, the way we traverse life, the way we face the challenges, the way we are emotionally charged when we are in the mud becomes more graceful, becomes more filled with grace. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but it means that we recognize God's presence in a more profound, more rapid way as we mature in our faith and become more Christ-like. Even Jesus faced desperation. You remember in the garden how he was pleading with God, I don't want to go through the day that's ahead. I know I am going to be suffering so badly. Says that he sweated like, and his sweat was like drops of blood. He was desperate. He was in the pit of despair. But to be like Christ is to be able to say at those times, not my will, not what I want, but God, what you want. And as we become more holy, as we become more like Christ, we are able to have that kind of lens on our life, knowing that life sometimes is going to be hard, but that Jesus demonstrated for us that God never, never, ever leaves us. And that even those hard times can be used as part of his plan. And he will lift us up. So David declared, "I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along." Ooh, that's nice, isn't it? You're down in the pit. You're suddenly on solid ground. And then he steadied me as I walked along. I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. This verse changes. This is verse 3, and it changes the focus of this psalm, and it's a psalm of thanksgiving. This changes the focus to mission. This is reminiscent of other words that we find in Scripture in the New Testament. So Jesus was speaking to John the Baptist's disciples when they came to ask if he was really the Messiah. These are Jesus' words that he said to those disciples. Go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. Again, what we read in that psalm is many will see what he has done. Jesus said, go back and tell them what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And then when Peter and John, once the church was going and established, Peter and John were arrested. And at that point, this is their declaration. We cannot stop telling everything we have seen and heard. They were in the pit of despair. They were under arrest at that point. And they said, we cannot stop telling everything we have seen and heard. And then John further writing in 1 John 1:3, we proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What happens to your testimony when you have been in the pit of despair, when you have been in the muck? It has been deep muck, and it's been a hard one to get out of. But you waited, and it didn't feel like you were waiting because you were patient. But then God showed up and you realized he heard my cry, and suddenly you're so filled with the joy that God is actually here, that he heard you, that you're like, wow, look at how patient I was. I waited till God got here. And then he lifted you out and he put you on solid ground, and then he steadied you. He didn't leave your side. What does that do to your story? It allows you to tell others, I have been right where you are. I have felt depressed. I have had a chronic illness. I have lost someone I loved, whether it be through estrangement or whether it be through death, and I know how it feels. But let me tell you, you keep calling out to God, and you're going to be astounded at how much patience you really have, because God is going to come and he is going to lift you out of that. But not only will he lift you out of that, he is going to walk beside you and he's going to steady you. And I want you to know about it. I want to share with you about that, because it changed me. It made me more aware that when I am down and out, I remember those times where Jesus came and made a difference in my life. And I can give you hope. I can give you hope. You know, God shares his mission with us. Somehow, depending on us, by the grace he offers, to trust us to carry out that which is most important. Any work of God is to declare his glory, his hope, and his life-giving grace. And this gives profound meaning to our testimonies, because we are living out our faith in front of other people. And words can be empty, but actions do speak louder than words. The Psalm of Thanksgiving that David wrote becomes a testimony to God's great work in our life so that others will believe and put their trust in God. This brings us to look at our lives differently. It brings us to look at our lives as being lived out in a missional way. And what it means to live missionally is to be present in every moment, recognizing that we are God's messengers and representatives. Now, here's what my missional life looked like on one of my days off last week. It started out at 7 o'clock with my daughter dropping off the minivan at my house, and she took my car to work. Hour and a half later, I drove to her house, where I was greeted by my son-in-law and my 3-year-old grandson. His class had a field trip to the Children's Museum. So we put him in the van, and I drove to the Children's Museum, and we had great conversation on the way, by the way. And I got to the Children's Museum and hooked up with the parents of the 6 other kids in his class. I know those parents now because I've been picking Cody up every Thursday this entire year. I'm building relationship with these parents. We met with the staff member who gave us all the instructions on what we were going to do for the day at the Children's Museum. And we went inside and we played. And I interacted with other parents and grandparents. There's a lot of grandparents there on Thursday morning, let me just say, FYI. It's a great day to go there if you're a grandparent with your little one. And we shared smiles and we shared comments as we talked about teamwork and sharing and taking turns and gave the kids, you know, some tools that they're going to need to navigate their life and their world. And then we finished up at the Children's Museum, and you know, we got to interact with the staff. There was someone who served me my coffee, and there was a lady with a stuffed eagle, and she'd answer any question you had at all. And so then we went on home, and Cody fell asleep and took a nap, and I worked a little bit on my sermon. And then Ellie came home from school, and we got back in the van, and we went to dance. I've been taking Ellie to dance all this school year. You know what? I've gotten to know the other parents who are there. And I've been able to build relationship with them. With both the parents at the preschool and some of the parents at the dance, we all attended an auction together. And it was cool, not on Thursday, but it was cool to be able to realize my sphere of influence is broadening. And then after dance, Nicole, my daughter, came and met us there, and I went to have coffee with a woman. And this woman, I've known her just, not even as an acquaintance, just knew who she was, she knew who I was, for years. And I ended up being asked to speak at a grad school class, a counseling class, and she happened to be in the class. What a coincidence. That was pretty cool. And she asked me if I would meet with her sometime. Well, the appointment was on Thursday. And I sat over coffee outside at Bridgeport. Thank you, God, for the sunny weather. She shared her struggles with me. She shared her struggles with me. You know what I got to do? I got to listen. And I got to share a little bit about my story with her. And do you know one of the reasons she asked me to share coffee with her was because at that class, there was a panel of us. One of the other panel members made a reference to how offended he is when someone drops an F-bomb. And I said, hey, I hear it all the time. I don't mind sitting across from somebody if they are really feeling emotional and they have to share. Now, it's not okay if someone is using language to degrade someone else. Let me make that clear. But if you're in the pit of despair, what else can you say? And she said, as soon as I heard that you were okay with that, I thought, maybe I can be real with her. She said, 1.5 years ago, my husband and I stopped attending church because I was told, just get over it. And no one was willing to walk beside me to get through it. And she said, I've developed a new relationship with Jesus on my own. But would you meet with me every once in a while and walk with me? So that's what my day looked like on Thursday. That's what my mission field looked like that day. What does your mission field look like? I'm sure the faces are different, but the state of the souls before God is not. Through this teaching, I am not inviting you to come and tell me about all the good things you're doing in your life and all the people you're connecting with. I know you are. I know that. God is using us. I have no doubt about that. My hope is to remind us to be mindful of so many opportunities we have each day. Honestly, while I was going through Thursday, I didn't look at every opportunity and go, oh, look at this. I'm a missionary in a mission field. No, that didn't happen. What happened is when I sat down and looked at it in retrospect, it gave me a different view. And I saw the myriad opportunities that were presented to me in just one day. So I want to challenge you this week, maybe this afternoon, to look back on one of your days from last week and go through it and inventory it. What opportunities were presented to you that day? My prayer is that we become more aware and more responsive to these God-oriented moments as we're living and experiencing them. What if instead of me saying, I'm going to the Children's Museum today with Cody on a field trip, what if I was thinking, what if my mindset was, I am being sent to the Children's Museum today? What if I thought, I am being sent to Metro Dance Academy today to interact and be a light for the people around me? What if instead of saying, I'm going to meet this person I met at a grad class over coffee, that I said, I'm being sent with a purpose because that's what it means to live missionally. Remember the first verse in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me and he turned to me and heard my cry. Who has been waiting patiently for the Lord? And are you going to go when he wants to send you? I read an article this week, a blog. And this is a quote from that. The primary mission field for most of us is not far away. It's in the routine of our daily lives. God doesn't save us to be passive spectators. He saves us and then sends us out into the world to tell other people about Jesus. Our mission at New Vision is to be a place of hope. But a place will sit empty without a purpose. We need a drive. We need determination. We need tenacity. We need persistence. We need resolution. We need commitment. We need devotion. We need dedication. The opposite of purpose is indifference. I want purpose, not indifference. Instead of making this just another Sunday, let's make this a sending day. Let's change our mindset for this afternoon when we go out of here, and everything that you end up doing today, think about it as I am being sent. Let's just do that for an experiment. Let's just do that and see how that might change us. Some of you may be sent home. There's things at home that you can do, especially on days like this when your neighbors are outside working in the yard. You will be sent outside to pull your weeds. You'll be sent outside to water your new water baskets. And you're going to have the opportunity to see some other people while you're out there. And what are you going to do with those opportunities? Many of us on Sundays after church and after we clean up, we are sent to various restaurants to have lunch. Instead of saying, we're going to go out to lunch, where are we going to go? To our expert restaurant chooser. We will say, where are we being sent today? Let's try that for an afternoon. Are we in? Are we in for that? I think that sounds like a fun thing to do. You know, the mission we've adopted is the very thing that David's communicating to us through his writing. The testimony of our life. The deliverance God has shown us time and again. The solid ground he has placed under our feet. The steadiness he has given us. The new song that we sing because God has proved himself faithful time and again becomes the very means to show others what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. We've adopted a mission based on God's mission. Adopting the mission of God makes us disciples, followers, and messengers. In summation, we become missionaries. Missions are both overseas and here in our backyard, and they're both equally important, and that is because it centers on people, and people are God's most important possession. God's mission was, is, and always will be connecting intimately with people. There's some opportunities that I'm really excited to tell you about because this summer is going to be the summer of being sent. Man, I just came up with that myself just this second. It's not even written down, but that's what we're going to call it. This is the summer of being sent. If you're a note taker, get ready to write. First of all, June 3rd, there is a baptism service. But prior to the baptism service, we're going to have a potluck picnic. People love food. People are attracted to food. Yeah, that's right. And that is a perfect opportunity to invite people to come and be a part of that with you. So that's going to happen actually in Murray's backyard because they have a pool. And we are going to give you the address and more information later on. But June 3rd, write that down, 1 o'clock. We're going to, you know, clean up in here. We get out of here at 12:30. We're going to get our picnic gear, get our picnic clothes on, and go and do that for the afternoon on the 3rd. And her mom and Marae are kind enough to open their home and their backyard to all of us all and found out that it will definitely hold 30, 50 people. It's not a small yard. So her mom was like, bring as many as you want. So there's an open invitation for our first event for the summer of being sent. And then we're trying a new thing, and it's also starting on June 3rd. It's going to be the 3rd, the 10th, and the 17th. It's going to be a series called At the Movies. When you come in, you're going to get popcorn, okay? This is legit. This is really going to be cool. So we're going to connect some of the movies to what we can find in Scripture. But wait, there's more. If you come with a friend who is not churched or who hasn't been here for, let's say, 6 months or so, and you invite them back, you and your friend will get a free movie ticket. Not kidding. Not kidding. Summer of being sent. The third thing is, still in June, June 24th, we are going to have an outreach event that is our first one that we've really done big time, but especially since we've moved here. It's going to be a block party right across the street in that park. We've rented the park for the entire day. So June 24th, if you keep a calendar on your phone, now is the time to take that phone out. No, I don't have my, I was going to take off my battery pack. I never know if my phone's in my pocket or not. Anyway, June 24th, punch that date in. Do the button that says all day, because this is going to be an all-day event. It's going to start out here at 10 in the morning, 8:30 for those of you who want to come and set up. 10 in the morning, we're going to have a special guest speaker. His name is Pastor Joel Mason. He is the person behind the initiative of Resolution Kindness that I have mentioned that is hitting the city of Hillsboro because we want to bring kindness back to our culture. Yeah, and God has brought us here to Hillsboro. We are now the New Vision Fellowship of Hillsboro instead of Beaverton. We're getting used to that. But he's brought us here to Hillsboro at the same time Resolution Kindness is being kicked off because he wants us to be a part of bringing kindness to this culture and the community. So Joel Mason is going to speak in the morning, and then we are going to set our tables up, redo the cafeteria, and all of you are going to have brought a sack lunch, or you're going to run to Albertson's real quick and get chicken or something like that. We're going to sit on our cafeteria tables and we're going to have lunch because then we're heading across the park and we're getting ready for a block party for this neighborhood. This isn't something we're just doing for ourselves, although it's going to be a blast. It's going to be for the community because you know what? The community knows we're here about 3 hours a week when we have signs out. They don't know otherwise that we're here. They don't know that there's a church family here that is real and loving and open and will walk beside you when you're hurting through your struggles. And we want to let them know that we're here to offer kindness and love. And so there's various things to be involved in. Every one of you's on the setup and cleanup committee, just FYI. But besides that, we're going to have some definite sign-up sheets with time slots and things to do. But we're planning this far. We're going to have hot dogs and chips and cookies. There's still a question mark about cotton candy. We're not sure about that. We're going to have a 15-foot giant slide. We're going to have water games. We're likely going to have a magician and a juggler. We're going to have balloon animals. I hope. But our balloon animal expert is not going to be here because he's on a mission field trip. So if you know how to make balloon animals, you need to write that on your connection card. Or if you're willing to go on YouTube and practice between now and June 24th and become a balloon animal maker, you can make a sword or a hat. We can even just give away balloon snakes. I mean, you know, we're going to make this thing work. Anyway, if you also have other spectacular ideas for a block party, there's a place on your connection card that says, I would like to help with this thing on the block party. But we want to hear more ideas. There's been a committee getting together a couple of times. There's some other great ideas. Let us know. Info center, there's going to be a table with info. There's a place for everyone, whether you can stand up for hours or whether you have to sit down. There's something for you to do. Oh, face painting. Sit down and do face painting. Smiley faces. If you don't have the talent to do a butterfly, it's okay. We'll figure it out. So anyway, that's all happening in June. Isn't that exciting? God is opening up a lot of opportunities for us. We knew that was happening when he moved us to Hillsboro, didn't we? We were like, something new is happening. Doors are being opened. And it's so exciting that we've, you know, figured this all out, figured out how to do church here. And now he's like saying, time to send ya. It's time to send ya. And so we also have our missionaries going to Uganda this month and through the month of June. And then we have missionaries going to the Dominican Republic again this year. And that's Gail Zimmerman and April Brackett. They are both going. And so when they are going in August. when they're going, we'll also have a sending morning for them. Oh, and let's not forget, in August, our fourth annual all church camp out. Woohoo! That is a blast. And so you can come in August, August 18th, 19th, 20th. Anyway, it's in your bowl. It's in your program. I can't remember the dates right off the top of my head. Third weekend. If you want to come and sleep over, there's enough room for tents and that sort of thing. If you want to just come on Sunday, we're only 30 minutes out of town, although we feel like we're out in the middle of, you know, the woods. We're only 30 minutes away, so you can come and just spend the day and eat together because people like food and play more games. So anyway, isn't that awesome? I'm so excited about the summer. That's what our summer holds, and it's going to be fantastic. Oh, and then the month of July, you all know, and if you don't, let me inform you, it's my birthday month. Right? Okay. So we have that established too. There's a motto that originated in the 60s and the 70s. Oh, and it's, okay, Joanne's birthday month, and Dan's, and Tara's. Who else do I have to share this? And Roberts and Stevens. Killian's birthday's in July. I'm going to have to share, but I do have to let you know, my birthday's at the end of the month. So when your birthday comes, you fall off. Just FYI. You fall off, and then it will continue on until the end of... Are you shaking your head? No? Somehow? That doesn't make me the supreme birthday girl? Okay, well, you can all pray for me about that. But anyway, it will be my birthday month. Anyway, there's a motto for those of you who were alive in the 60s and 70s. I'm not going to say whether I was or not. But anyway, it said, think globally, act locally. Think globally, act locally. So let's apply that to our missional lives. Some people are going globally, and while they are there for 4 weeks or for 1 week or 10 days, that's going to be their local world, and they're going to act there. And the rest of us, wherever we are, becomes the local spot God has placed us, where he has sent us. And as long as Jesus Christ is showing up, then we are going to do the same. Amen? Amen? Amen. We are in that together. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the celebration that we are able to have. It's amazing, God, that we started out talking about rolling around in the mud and how hard life can be sometimes. And then we were brought clear through to an enthusiasm about how you send us. And it makes it so that it doesn't even really matter what we go through. You still use us. And you care about us, and you find us if we're in the mud, and you find us if we're in the solid ground. And you've placed us all together so that wherever we are on any given day, we can be there for each other. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that you are our hope. everlasting. And I thank you that we are included in the work you do. And I imagine that sometimes, just like your children, just like our own children, sometimes when they try to help us with things, things get messier and it takes longer. And God, you're patient with us. And you let us be a part of everything you do. And God, I just want to pray and say that as long as you keep showing up and directing us, that we are here to be obedient and to follow where you send us. Send us out from here today, God, and help us to be aware of the opportunities that we have to live a missional life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.